small announcements as we prepare for work. We're going to be hosting a baby shower for Morgan and Cameron on July 31st. Mark the calendar for that. And if you haven't picked up the ministry opportunity forms in the back, please pick up one, because not next Sunday, but the Sunday after that, first Sunday in July, those are due. So if you're a member and you want to know what opportunities are out there, there's a description of all the ministries you need to be involved in, all the committees, Sunday school classes. So just pick up one of those. If you're not a member, if you want to be a member, please come and talk to you about that. I want to have first, all the fathers stand up this morning. If you're a father and you're here, please stand. And I'm going to I've got a gift for you, and for the men as well. If you're a man, you can stay seated. Not that you are a father yet, you might be one day, but I want to make sure you have one of these as well. We all fight this battle. You know, the Lord says to keep His word before us and be reminded of His word all the time. And I keep this in my pocket to remind me that we have great armor of God, an arsenal of weapons at our disposal at all times. I want you to give these fathers a hand. Let's celebrate these men. And before you sit down, I want to pray with the fathers. So you're here with your dad, or your dad's not here and you don't have someone to pray over, lay your hands on these men, and we're going to just spend a few minutes praying over them, and then I'm going to close in prayer.
Thank you for Dad and just all the things that He's taught us and teaching us just through just being out in the woods, just in Your Word, God. Help us just remember those things and all, and just strive to do the things that He has taught us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear God, just thank You for Daddy and just everything He's taught us and amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the Father that you are. That you are always patient, you're always compassionate, you're always loving, you always care deeply, more than we could ever even imagine. And Lord, we hope as fathers to follow after your example. Lord, I thank you for these men, and I pray that your face would shine upon them today and encourage their hearts and minds. Lord, that we would be able to let go of things in the past even and focus on what you want us to do today and tomorrow and this week and next month and next year, Lord, to raise up the next generation. I pray your strength, your courage, your boldness for these men to stand on your word in the midst of this idolatrous culture, Lord, a godless culture, Lord. I pray, God, that you would bless these men with the courage they need to persevere, to lead their families, to take hold of the God-given spiritual, God-given role that you've given them, Lord, and pursue you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. I pray, God, that you would bless them and encourage them today, Father. Lord, I pray for those who lives without a father, maybe, or didn't have a father who invested in their lives. I pray that you would encourage them, that they would know that you are the perfect father. And even though they didn't have a father growing up, Lord, you are there for them. You are the everlasting Father, the perfect Father that never leaves us nor forsakes us. I pray for those who live with an abusive father. And I pray for the hurt and the pain that they feel. And I ask, Lord, that you would comfort them, that you would encourage them, that you would help them to see who you are, and that you are the perfect Father who cares and wants what's best for them and wants to bless them with abundant life. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day, and we give you the glory. Prepare our hearts for your word even now, Father. May your Spirit have your way in us, Lord. May we not oppose or reject what you want to do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to think for a moment about the world and the culture we live in. We're living in desperate times. Our nation is falling apart. Generations are being lost to the world. Our culture is anti-God. Why does this happen? Because this is not the first time in our history. History of this world. This happens often. Ultimately, those who follow Christ know that we live in a world where sin has brought about suffering and death. We know that each of us has been tarnished and broken by sin. We know the ultimate reason is a world without the rule and reign of Christ in the hearts of people. You either believe God's word or you end up believing man's word. There's only two sides to this. You either follow Christ or you don't. You either believe God's word or you end up following after the world's ways. This heart to reject God's plan for our lives, it brings about this issue that plagues our society. And we know from research, even here in our own community, and so much of this destruction stems from the breakdown of the family. You see, Satan knows the key to the breakdown and the destruction of society. I mean, it's the family. It's the same all over the world. Doesn't matter what country you go to, it's the same. And this divisive plan has been working for thousands and thousands of years. It doesn't need to change its strategy. We see God's perfect design in the Bible, and it shows us that God intended the family to be the core unit of society. If the family is redesigned, if it is reconstructed or destroyed, it makes sense that our communities and our nation and even at some point maybe even the church would fall apart. In God's design, he's given the man this special role and purpose. And since it's Father's Day, we want to focus on this crucial role in God's design of family. As a man, whether you are single or whether you're married, you are to be a spiritual leader to those around you, an example for others to follow. As a father, you're the spiritual leader of your wife and your children. You play a very important role in raising up the next generation. But our culture here in America is stripping away your role as a man. stripping away your role as a father. You have been demoted. You have been trash talked. You have been laughed at. You have been disrespected. You have been called an animal. And you are told that you are of no use and you have no value in this culture or in the family. Your role as a spiritual leader for your family has been taken away from you. And the world has even redesigned manhood for you and your sons. And what are we going to do about this? Are we just going to sit and let the world raise up the next generation? Or are we going to stand strong in the Lord to take back this generation? I hate to even tell you what the statistics are concerning the breakdown of the man and its implications for the family. Statistics are real. The next generation takes its biggest cues for life from the man. And that may surprise you. If dad takes his faith seriously in God, then the message to your children is that God should be taken very seriously. If you're a single man in this church, even, and you need to know that our young boys, they're looking to you to see how you will respond to God, how you will live your life for Christ or not. Now, I've shared about this Barna study before. This research is so worth the reminder. Their research found that if a child is the first person in a household to become a Christian, there's a 3.5% probability everyone in the house in the household will follow. And we invest a lot in our children. That is so wonderful. There's a 3.5% likelihood that the rest of the family will follow Christ. And then, if the mother is the first one to become a Christian, it's a 17% probability. And we invest in our women, in the mothers and ladies in this church. It's important. There's a 17% likelihood that the rest of the family will follow in Christ. However, when the father is the first to come to Christ, it is a 93% probability everyone else in the household will follow. Now we understand the reason behind Satan's strategy to take men and fathers out of the picture, to destroy their God-given role for family, for the church, for their community. This is the state of our culture. This is the reality in today's world. Because we stray so far from God's design for family, because Christ does not take center stage in the family, but rather many other distractions, this is the consequence. We're in dire need of godly men. We need men. We need to be the men God designed us to be, to stand strong in the Lord and not allow the culture to dictate how we will live, how we will follow the Lord, how we will raise up the next generation. Now I know when I mention Father's Day and I will today that we get many different responses. Even some who cringe at the mention of dad or father. You may meet someone like me, you had a wonderful father. A father who was always there for me, who told me he loved me. A father who taught me right from wrong and disciplined me accordingly. But in many cases, right here in our community, there are many who live without a father. Or who live with an abusive father. Or maybe they had a father who never really played a role in their lives. So just the mention of Father's Day brings back feelings of pain, hardships, and even fear. And I am so greatly sorry and grieve those of you who have gone through that and maybe are going through that right now, just remembering that pain. Now, as human fathers go, we will all make mistakes. Some of us might be good examples in one area or fail in another. But truly, though, we find the perfect example of fatherhood in God Himself. The Bible paints this beautiful picture for us of who God is as Father to His children. The perfect example of what kind of parents we are to be. He is merciful and gracious and steadfast in His love toward us, as Psalm 86 tells us. He's Almighty God, Creator of all things, and yet He's loving. He's a compassionate Father who always keeps His promises, as we see in Psalm 103. He's sovereign and looks out for His children. He never leaves us nor forsakes us, as we see in Psalm 68. Now, we've looked at over the last month how God loves you like no one else. Even though God is holy and we as human beings are sinful by nature, He came and paid the price for us, made a way for us to be adopted into His family. What a beautiful picture of God's love for us. We sinned against Him. We decided to go our own way. Our punishment is death, yet He died in our place. Took our punishment on Himself. And through our faith in Christ, He welcomes us back with open arms of grace and mercy into His family. He's full of love and compassion. adoption. He's the perfect Father. God loves you like no one else because He personally created you, handcrafted you. You are unique. He knows exactly what you can handle and what you can't. He knows everything about us. Nothing is hidden. Therefore, He knows what we need to go through, what we need to face in the way of adversity so that we can grow in spiritual maturity. He knows what's best for us. You see, God just wants your heart. He just wants your heart so that He can work in your life and give you peace that you've never imagined, joy that is everlasting and abundant life, eternal life. But here we are living in dark days and a time when we desperately need godly men and fathers to stand strong in the Lord. And our passage today calls us to this. You know, there were some crazy things going on in Corinth, in the church of Corinth. That's what we're going to be in 1 Corinthians. Some crazy things going on in the church of Corinth. And there were divisions, there was immoral behavior, disorderly worship, there was worship of leaders, of various other things. And this is somewhat the result of a lack of godly leadership in the church. Paul and Apollos, they wanted them to come and kind of fix their problem for them. But Paul and Apollos could not come, so they sent Timothy with instructions. So Paul sends this letter. And Paul's final instructions in this letter, he gives strong exhortation to the men. And it is this exhortation that we're going to look at again today. A call for men to stand strong in the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to be in chapter 16. And we're going to look at verse 13 and 14. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one there in front of you. Open your Bible up to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Listen to what it says in verse 13 and 14. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all you do be done in love. So we're going to break this down into small pieces, bite-sized pieces. But first, we must watch. We must stand watch for danger. Stand watch for danger. Be watchful. Look there again. Be watchful. It's the first thing he says there in that verse 13. Now, being watchful means to be alert. It means to be vigilant. We may not realize it, but the enemy is always at hand. And we're never really safe from his attack. If you remember from 1 Peter 5:8, he's like the prowling lion that's looking for someone to devour. Now, how many of you men are ready to defend your home? How many of you men are ready to defend your home? How many of us even have permits to carry so that we can protect our families when we go wherever we go? And many of us are prepared to protect ourselves and our families from the attack of flesh and blood, the physical dangers in this world, and there are many. Yet, are we ready to protect ourselves and our families from these spiritual attacks that come our way? You see, there's a great spiritual warfare that's going on around us, a spiritual battle that wants to take you out, that wants to destroy your family. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. And we see it all around us. It's evident. It's clear. It's just right there before our face, before our eyes. Are we ready for the spiritual attack that wants to bring us harm? You know, we may be running hard after this so-called American dream, believing that we are doing our best, giving our spouse nice things, providing for our children what they need, and yet we may miss the most important thing, Christ and His rule and reign in our hearts. We may be blinded to the spiritual attacks that wage on in our marriages and the lives of our children. The internet that you have installed in your house might be the Trojan horse that Satan is using to corrupt the minds of your family. And the device that you give your child to keep them busy might be the channel that the world is using to brainwash your child. Paul was very concerned for the church of Corinth. They lacked mature leadership, and this was affecting them greatly. These leaders were acting very immature. They needed to spiritually grow up. Paul was calling them to courageous manliness. He wanted these men to wake up, take on their God-given responsibility, and it started with keeping watch, staying alert to the attacks of the enemy. You see, it's no different today. Just as the Corinthian church was being attacked by Satan, infiltrated by the world, succumbing to the world's ways and living in sin, so is the family today. We see it all the time. And as men, we need to be on guard. We must keep our spiritual eyes open to the lures and temptations that bombard our homes. The subtle messages that bring division between you and your wife. Those messages that confuse your children about their God-given design. Satan wants to creep into your home. He wants to creep into our church through whatever avenue he can find. Spreading lies, deception, distorting the truth by false teaching. Bringing about destruction. We as men must be on guard spiritually, just as we are physically, to keep them safe, to keep watch over our family and the body of Christ. This is our responsibility as men and husbands and fathers. We don't compare to the leadership of those who follow the world. It's a whole different ballgame when it comes to a man who follows after the heart of God. But the Bible commands us many times to keep watch, stay alert, be on guard. Prepare yourself for battle. That illustration of being a soldier in God's army. Being prepared, preparing ourselves for battle. Training, ready, being ready to take the fight. To protect. And this is one of the greatest battles of our lives. Losing this battle is not only going to affect your life, it's going to affect all those who follow after us. Next, he calls us to stand firm. Stand firm in what you believe. Up there again in verse 13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith. To stand firm in the faith means to have mature stability. In Ephesians 6, we learn about the armor of God that he's given us, the weapons and power that God has given us to stand firm against the attacks of sin, against falling to the world's way of life. He's telling us to stand firm. Don't retreat. Don't run from your problems. Face them head on. Live under the control and leadership of the Holy Spirit. Walk with God daily and allow him to empower you and help you stand strong. You can't fight this battle on your own. Impossible. You don't have what it takes without Christ to win this battle. He's given you this spiritual armor that you need, all the spiritual armor you need to stand strong in your faith. That's why I gave you that point. So I want you to put it in your pocket and look at it every single day. Every single day, look at that and remind yourself, I have everything that I need from Christ to stand strong before the enemy, to be the man of God I need to be, to fight this battle and win and have victory. Because Christ has victory. We have the armor. We have the weapons ready at our disposal. God tells us he is our sufficiency. You need him. And you need his truth. We need to have these things before us. These little reminders of his truth. The truth that sets us free. His word that is living and powerful. And as 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, it makes us complete and prepared for every good work, especially this work of leading as the spiritual leader of your home. We're called to stand firm in the faith. Faith in what? That is faith in Christ, what he says. See, faith is not simply saying that what God says is true. True faith is acting on what God says because it is true. Victorious faith is a result of maturing love for God. The better we come to know and love Jesus, the easier it is to trust him with our needs and with the trials of our life, with our family, with our wives. How can we put our faith in someone who we don't know well? Or how can we put our faith in his word if we don't know what he says? In other words, if we don't treasure God's word and spend time listening to him, what do we have to stand on? What do we really have to stand on? What do we have in our hearts and minds to give to our wife or to give to our children? Or if you're just a man here, to give to others around you, your co-workers, your brothers and sisters, or whoever it may be. How do we know what's true and false? How do we spot the spiritual attacks and temptations that come to us and our families? We will not. We won't. We won't. We won't. Without his word, we'll be tossed around like the wave of an ocean. Succumb to his attacks, the attacks of the enemy over and over and over and over. And we'll just start to believe this is just normal life. I'm defeated, and this is just where I'm going to live, in this defeated place. That's not what God asked for. Why do you think when Joshua begins his leadership role, I mean a role that's way beyond Joshua, leading too many people into the nations to conquer them and take over this land, why do you think God starts off by telling Joshua this? Joshua, this book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God was telling Joshua to put his faith in him and what he says. He wanted Joshua to know his word. He wanted them to understand what it looked like to follow after God, to obey him, and that would give him the ability to lead others and prosper, to stand strong against the enemy, to know what God desires of his people. We must know his truth and stand firm in what we believe, for the world is opposed to everything that God desires. You know, Paul then says it like it is. I mean, he just says it like it is. I don't think he can say it any more clear than this. Stand strong in your God-given role. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Act like men and be strong. God designed us as men to be strong. And I'm not just talking about physical strength here. This was a call to courageous manliness in an hour where mature leadership was needed. Remember, this is a spiritual battle. God created us with mental toughness. We are created to be the defenders of our families. As a husband, the father, God's giving you this huge responsibility. You're the spiritual leader of your household. Ephesians 5:23 states, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior." You're the spiritual head of your family, the priest of your home, the one who leads your family closer to Christ, closer in relationship with God. You're the one who protects your family from the attacks of the world. And as a man, God has given you everything you need to fight this battle. He's given you everything you need to stand strong and raise up the next generation. He did not design you to do something that he did not equip you to do. I want you to remember that. He did not design you to do something. He didn't give you this role as a leader, as a spiritual leader, and not equip you to do it. He equips you in every way. The command here in this verse is to act like a man. Act like a man. Be the man of God he designed you to be. This is not spoken out of our day. Men are demeaned. They're laughed at. Fathers are ridiculed, disrespected. They're looked like the dummies or robots who need instruction because they don't know what to do. And sadly, some of this ridicule sometimes comes from their own wives. Why do so many boys not understand who they are? Why do so many boys grow up not knowing how to treat their wives and love them as Christ loves the church? Why do so many boys grow up consumed with themselves and lack the passion and love they need to lead others? Why do so many grow up without the practical wisdom and knowledge that they need to lead their families and lead in our society? Why are so many boys confused about who they are? What does it mean to be a man? When do I become a man? Am I a man? Simply put, they don't have examples to follow. Simply put, they don't have examples to follow. They've never been taught and mentored what to do, what it looks like. I mean, how many role models of good, godly fathers do you see on TV these days? How many times does our culture advocate for healthy, biblical family models? Never. Never. It's not portrayed in our culture today. Where are our boys going to see what it looks like to be a godly man, a godly husband, a godly father? Where will your girls learn what it looks like, what a godly man looks like, so they know what to look for in a man? In today's world, the only way they're going to see this is in their own fathers, in other fathers here in the body of Christ. Men in this body who should be teaching our children, giving them godly examples to look up to. It's one of the reasons that some of the men in this church got led to start the Trail Life Ministry for boys. To help them become godly men of character and honor and integrity. What does it look like to be a godly man? What does it look like to be a godly father? Well, remember, God is our example of what it looks like to be a perfect father. Is it that being a man is all about being tough and rugged and without compassion, prideful, never shedding a tear? Not at all. Think of the characteristics you see in God's example. Yes, God is strong, but he is also loving. And he's compassionate. He listens to us. He understands. He's so understanding and patient. And then, for a godly man, Jesus gave us the perfect example of what it looks like to be a godly man. A humble servant full of meekness. Yes, meekness. Meekness is not weakness. It is power under control. God has given us a model in Christ of what it looks like to be a godly man. What it looks like to lead others. You see, God knows that we can't fulfill this calling without him. He wants your heart first. He wants a humble man who is willing to allow him to transform you from the inside out, to mold you into a man after his own heart, to empower you with all you need to fulfill this role. Christ has given us the greatest example of a godly man who knows how to love others. Yes, love. Love others. This brings us to our last point. We stand balanced with love. Look at verse 14. Paul finishes this up with very important instruction for our leadership. See, manliness must be balanced with love, lest leadership becomes dictatorship. Paul has already addressed what love looks like back in chapter 13 of this same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And as we lead our families, we must do it in love. The love that God has given us as he changes the nature of our hearts. A love that is sacrificial, looks out for the interest of others, that's willing to lay down our life for our family. Meaning we're willing to do whatever necessary to protect, to lead, to help our families grow. Even when that means laying aside some of our own wants, some of our own desires, so that we can be the men our families need us to be. As we lead, we need love that is patient with our children. Love that doesn't insist on its own way, but is willing to lay aside our selfish desires. Love that is willing to bear whatever necessary for our wives to grow in the Lord. Making sure they have time without the children to spend time with the Lord. You have to work that out. You have to make sure that your wife and your children can grow in their relationship with the Lord. Making sure they get the discipleship they need. Making sure they're learning the Word. We need a love that never stops loving. That is unconditional. Never, not wanting for someone else to love you in return, but always extending grace and love toward others you need. Now, I know this seems overwhelming, because I've been overwhelmed this week. And I know it seems that I've been hard on the men. And I know it even might seem impossible, but this is the Word of God. And this is how God set up the family. And it is by his power that we can be the men, husbands, and fathers he calls us to be. With man, this is impossible. But in Christ, this is fully possible. Fully possible. He empowers us to follow his example, to stand strong in the Lord for others, to be compassionate toward our wives and our children, to love our wives as Christ loved the church, lay down his life for us, to serve them, to give our children good biblical boundaries and discipline them when they go astray. The Lord gives us wisdom and power that helps us lead our families in the direction that they should go. He empowers us to discipline our own bodies and keep ourselves self-controlled so that we can be Christ-like examples that our families need. This in no way means that we're perfect. In no way does it mean that we become perfect. That's for our life with Christ. But when we do make mistakes, when we do wrong, we become humble, repentant receivers of his grace. Humble before the Lord. Knowledge of our sin, repenting, turning away from it, walking in God's way, receiving his grace, not wallowing in our shame and guilt, receiving his grace and his power to walk forward, showing our children and our wives what it looks like to follow after the Lord. what it looks like in His power to press on toward the call that He's laid in our lives. The call to be the spiritual leaders of our family. I love what Paul says in Philippians 3:12-14. He says, not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting to what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Will you lay aside all that's happened to you in the past? Have your worries? Have you might have failed in certain areas? All those bad memories that consume you and are dictating to you how you should live your life right now. Will you lay those in the past where they belong? And will you strive forward with me in Christ in His power? That was the actual question.
Yeah.
And women, will you pray for your husband? Will you respect him as the spiritual leader of your household? Will you become his greatest advocate for the sake of Christ in your family? That is a question also.
Yes.
I believe it's time to take a stand. It's time to be on guard. It's time to unmask the enemy and fight this battle with the right spiritual weapons. It's time to stop following the course of this world and change our priorities. It's time